One of the things, if you recall, if you were here when we looked at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 about a year ago, used an illustration to help us see the picture of the early church of these baptized disciples. The Spirit had come and they were baptized with the Spirit, and you have this fellowship, this people of God meeting in Jerusalem, and we read about their life in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I used the illustration of a cross where their life was founded, was rooted, was based, was bought, purchased by the crosswork of Christ. And the risen Christ poured out His Spirit upon them, and that they were made alive by the Spirit, and the work of Christ applied to their lives by the Spirit. So Christ's saving work in His death and resurrection called and constituted this early body of believers, and it's the case for all of us who are disciples of Jesus. And in their life together, I drew arrows on the cross. If you can imagine an arrow going up, an arrow going down, two arrows going inward and two going outward. I use those to point out what we see in the passage here, that they were rooted in Scripture, the apostles' teaching. So there was a downward arrow into the Word that characterized the life and ministry of the church. And there was an upward arrow in worship to the Lord. And there was an inward arrow in shared life and fellowship together. And then there were outward arrows, and that they went and witnessed to Christ in their community, and there was this overflowing in their lives of Christ that spilled out in the rest of their daily life. And so we see that picture here in Acts chapter 2. And what I want to do this morning is with that in mind, that the church is bought and called by Christ, is the fellowship of His Holy Spirit. Ways that the church is spoken of in Scripture are as the people of God, which we read in 1 Peter this morning, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the Holy Spirit where the Spirit dwells, and the body of Christ, or His bride, Christ's body. So we have this community of God, a people for God's name. One of the schools I went to had that on their sign out front. That the church is a people for God's name. And the word church means that most of the, when it's translated in our English, the word behind it means assembly. And that's important to keep in mind, because the church is an assembly, a gathering of people that meets together regularly. It's also spoken of in Scripture as the people that assemble. So the church is the church, even when we're not assembled, when we're scattered, as well as when we're gathered. We're the church. We're this people that Christ has called to Himself, has purchased by His blood, has given His Spirit. And we as the assembly, Scripture speaks about the church in different ways. And this is important to keep in mind, because I think some people's understanding of the church on this point isn't sharpened by Scripture in the way that it should be. But Scripture speaks about the church as all the people of God. So Ephesians 5, when Paul talks about how Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, and then talks about how husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, Ephesians 5:25. So it's the people of God that Christ bought by His blood. We refer to this sometimes as the universal church. That is, all the people belonging to Christ through different time and space. It's all the assembly of God's people that participates in the heavenly assembly of worship, whether the saints are there or not, or as we gather together, we're participating in this gathering worship that the angels even are a part of. And so it's this universal church. But then Scripture also speaks about the church as these people in local or regional manifestations. And so in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we see this regional mention of the church. If you want to flip there really quick to see that, in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and multiplied." And so this is this regional church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. So you have the universal church You have regional collections of people who belong to the universal church, but are a part of it and are representatives of the universal church. And then you have local congregations. And so you see this, for example, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where there's the letters to the seven churches, and it uses that word plural, churches. So you have the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, so on. There's seven churches. The lampstands represent each church. These are the local bodies of believers in these particular areas. You see it in Acts as well, in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, where again we read this: "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so here you have every church, local churches, not just regional churches, but more local, like our church here, a Faith Community Church is a local church. And so it's important to keep this in mind, because we who are a part of Christ are not just part of the universal church, but we're called to be part of local assemblies. And so Hebrews 10:25 says to not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And so the church is Christ's body, universal, and then local churches are manifestations, representatives, part of that body in local areas. And here we see in Acts chapter 2 a picture of the church in Jerusalem. So this is the church in Jerusalem, a local congregation that's marked by certain practices and a leadership. So the apostles are leading. There's an organization, a structure. They gather together. They meet. The word here, they devoted themselves. They continued in. There was this practice, this habit of gathering together and meeting. And so we're going to see and read about this picture of the early church here in Jerusalem, an outpost of the kingdom of Christ, which, as we read in Hebrews, or I mean in 1 Peter, that the church is called to express and expand the worship of God. So if you ask, what's the purpose of the church? What are we called to do as local gatherings of believers here in Leesburg? We're called by Christ together, rooted in what He has done to save us, with the Spirit's presence and help, to express and expand the worship of God. To express and expand the worship of God. This is in our corporate worship, in our growth in grace, so that we grow as worshipers or disciples, and then we expand the worship of God as we share, both by manifestation and witness, the kingdom of God, Christ, with the world around. And so the church, local churches, are outposts of the kingdom. And what's an outpost? Well, it's a representative of a kingdom that's larger than just that outpost, but that outpost is there as a representative of the kingdom, a manifestation of it, expressing the life of that kingdom, and seeking to expand it into this area or this territory. So local churches are outposts of the kingdom of Christ, where we're called to be expressing worship and the lordship of Christ in our lives, celebrating His salvation, encouraging one another in love and good deeds, and expressing and expanding the worship of Christ, the news about Him, to the world around. And this is, you know, we're told in Matthew 16 that Christ will build His church. And we see then that in Acts that He's building His church to be a people for His name. To be a people for His name, to express and expand the worship of the living God who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so we see a picture now. We're going to read in Acts chapter 2 of the early church. And I invite you to stand, if you're able, reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Hear the word of the Lord. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." You may be seated. So I want to focus here on verse 42, but you see in the rest of the passage this picture of the church, a fellowship. They had this fellowship. The word translated fellowship is koinonia, and it means common life or shared life. And you see that then spelled out. Their common life reached the point of they were meeting and breaking bread in each other's homes. They even shared their financial resources with one another. The fellowship went into the pocketbook. It's voluntary. This isn't communism. It's a voluntary thing. But their shared life was so shared and connected with one another that they were sharing and meeting each other's physical needs as well as spiritual needs and praying together and breaking bread together. There was a fellowship, a common life together. They are a the household of God, the family of God. The church is a family. And you see this family life lived out as they cared for one another. And then as they scattered into the temple grounds, their lives and their words gave praise and witness to God. And we're told in verse 47 that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as the church went about being the church in Jerusalem, the Lord was adding people to their numbers, was adding those to the church. Just like had happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and gave the sermon, and then they asked, as we looked at last week, what shall we do? And he told them to repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So disciples of Jesus, those who have trusted in him, who are his believers and followers, gathered together in Jerusalem. And we see this life together, this community, this kingdom community, which was an outpost in Jerusalem of the gospel. And one of the things I want to look at this morning is examine our own mindsets about church. Because if you're like me and you grew up going to church, you may have had, and I think people have various degrees of this, an idea that the church was sort of basically an event that you went to. Put it crassly, sometimes people will think of the church as almost sort of like a restaurant or something that they may come to and receive something from and pay something for, but they don't think of it as a community or as a family. The level of commitment is very low. And if they hit something that doesn't quite, and I'm not talking about essential things, but something that doesn't quite fit their preference, then they're going to up and leave. There's not really much of a devotion or a connection or a commitment. They don't really conceive of the church as a family, which in Scripture it is. They think of it as more of sort of a restaurant, a vendor of religious goods and services that they use rather than are part of. And this is something that I think in the American church, I know I've struggled against this in my own heart and life. I think this is a misconception and a matter of the heart and mindset about the church that many people, to varying degrees, have. They think of the church as an event or something that is tangential to them that they use, that they may contribute some to, but they don't really think of themselves as a member of the body, as a member of the family, as part of this community, bound together to one another in the Holy Spirit, rooted in Christ based on his work. And so having this kind of fellowship, this kind of family connection with one another. And when you miss that sense of commitment and family, it's sad because not only do you miss out personally on your own growth and edification that the church serves, you also miss out on helping and ministering to others. Because in that passage in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where it talks about where we get the term membership, it's in this analogy of a body that has many members, a hand, a foot, a head, and so on. And like members of a body, they all work together. We need one another. We've been gifted in different ways to use in the church and outside of the church for God's glory. And if we're not contributing our part to the life and ministry of the church, other people are suffering or lacking because of that. And likewise, if we're not connected to the life of the church, we're not receiving the ministry of other people, and so we're going to be lacking because of that. And so I think this is one thing that we need to hear and consider is, what is our level of commitment? I mean, heart commitment, not just using the church like it's a restaurant or a vendor, but seeing the church as part as my family. Because as we've seen in Scripture, we're part of the household of God. We who are in Christ are family together in the household of God, part of His people, part of a body meant so that when one is suffering, all grieve. When one rejoices, all rejoice. And we minister to one another together. And so what's your mindset about the church? Church definitionally means assembly, and it's this kingdom assembly that expresses and expands the worship of God. And it's this community, this assembly, in which the Spirit's present and Christ and His reign is represented on the earth. And we see in this passage, not only is this community called together and constituted by Christ, and Christ says He'll build His church, we see how this church functions. So there's three things I want to point out about how this church functions in verse 42. And in this picture, by the way, in Acts 2, it's simply a positive picture of the church. Now we see, as you continue reading in Acts, you're going to run into places where there's conflicts and strife and problems in the church. But this picture, we get this simply positive picture of the church. That teaches us by way of example what we are as the church to be about and like as well. That we who are called and constituted by Christ and are members of Him, His body, and His family together, how we should live. And we see these three practices. In verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, there's four mentioned there, but I've broken them down into three for the notes because I think that the breaking of bread and the prayers go together and are speaking about the corporate worship gathering. People debate about whether that's the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper, or some other kind of meeting for food together. I lean toward thinking it's probably the meeting together for food, the love feast that would take place as part of the corporate worship setting. So you see this in 1 Corinthians 10, where the church would gather together, or 11, where the church would gather together before celebrating communion, and communion would be a part of that. If it was meant to be specifically just communion, I think the bread and the wine would be mentioned. And since it says just the breaking of the bread, I take it that it has in view the love feast that involves communion. But it's this gathering together in fellowship to worship the Lord together that involves the prayers. So it has the definite article there with the prayers, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. In mind, I think this service or this gathering together. So I've termed that on the notes point three, the breaking of the bread and prayers, worship. The gathered corporate worship is what I'm meaning there. And then we see the fellowship. Fellowship, as I said, is this this shared life together. It's with open hearts toward one another. There's vulnerability involved, love and mutual edification. It's a shared life together. And so I've termed that for the notes oneness. O for oneness, and then the apostles' teaching. Now the apostles were teaching, as we saw Peter stand up and do, they were teaching the Old Testament scriptures, and then they were showing about how those are fulfilled and point to Christ. And so the apostles in their teaching were teaching about the Old Testament and Christ, and so what we have in the New Testament, and so this is the Word of God, or the Bible. And so we have the church marked by these three practices: the Word, oneness, and worship. They devoted themselves to these three things. Now, in verse 42, that word for devoted, it can also be translated as continued in. These are practices or habits that they were involved in doing regularly. They would gather together for these things, and this fellowship, they were involved regularly, ongoing in one another's lives. We read later in the passage about how they would meet in each other's homes and break bread, and they shared their possessions with one another. The sharing of life was an ongoing, regular thing. The studying of the apostles' teaching, the studying of the Word was an ongoing, regular thing. And the gathering together for corporate worship was an ongoing, regular thing. That this expresses this community's life of worship for worship of the Lord. And so you see these three practices. And I want to look at this term devoted, because it says that they were they devoted themselves to this. There was an ongoing practice or habits of these believers in word and fellowship and worship, in word and oneness and worship. It was a devoted, ongoing thing. It's sort of like if you can conceive of paths. I like to go to a park, pear park, and they've done some things there where there's certain paths that they don't want you to walk on anymore. They want to have them restored back to the sort of wild nature of the paths, let the bushes grow over them. And so they've blocked off the paths, and they've put new paths in for you to walk on. When we came to know Christ, by the work of the Spirit in our hearts, created new paths, new desires in our hearts. Now, we still have these old paths that in our flesh is drawn to. The sinful nature wants to walk on these old paths. But these in Christ have been blocked off and have given us new paths. But part of growth in sanctification, growth in godliness, is that we can keep stepping into these old paths. And what happens is if you step into these old paths, you continue to wear those paths and they don't grow back over. When we struggle with sins in our lives, one of the things that happens is that the more that we give in to a certain pattern or way of thinking or activity that's sinful, those paths get reinforced and it becomes harder and harder to not go on those paths. But the more that we walk in the ways of the Spirit and have those paths that are given to us in Christ trod out in our lives, those desires and paths become stronger and stronger. And the old ones, the weeds start growing up and the trees and branches grow over and they become less attractive and less appealing to us. And in our life of sanctification, it's like this, where we walk in the Spirit, we deny the flesh, and the old man ways and thoughts and habits and patterns begin to become less and less defined, less and less attractive, and we walk in these new ways and paths. Well, one of the things that how this works is by faith, as we engage in godly practices and living, this takes place. This is one of the means of the growth of our sanctification. And the life of the church does that. Now, there's individual things that we do by faith. This isn't to earn our salvation. It's not in our own effort. It's something that comes out of the believer's life and heart. But there's individual things that we do in terms of our reading of Scripture and our prayers and our family worship together, and different things that we do when we're scattered. But when we're gathered together as a church, as the body, one of the things that the body of believers is for is that we need one another to help in us growing in godliness and having some of these habits and practices, godly ones, rooted deeper and deeper in our lives and souls and hearts, and to deny those that are godless and of the flesh. And the church actually serves this sanctifying work. This is one of the reasons that Christ has called us together, is to spur one another on in love and good deeds. He has called us together to help one another. And so when we're meeting together and studying the Word, we're helping one another get the Word in our hearts and minds, to get insights and to get excitement about the Word, and a desire to want to live it gets spurred up by seeing other believers. When we gather together in corporate worship, we're encouraged, even by one another's presence, we're encouraged as we gather together to worship the Lord. And I remember a professor of mine once, how encouraging it was to see him, and this was in a church setting, seeing him worship the Lord in the setting. I knew that this was somebody who I really respected before I even went to the school, and I knew how much he had done for Christ and His kingdom in terms of scholarly work. And to see him as this child before the Lord, see his heart bursting forth in praise to the Lord, it did my heart good to see that going on. And so when we worship together, we encourage one another in the faith. And this fellowship, when we're engaged in one another's lives, and I'll tell you, of these three practices of the Word and oneness and worship, this is the one that for me is the biggest struggle, or I'm the weakest at. And one of the things to say about that is that I need you in the body who are good at at opening your hearts to one another and being vulnerable with one another, because this is part of this fellowship. Fellowship isn't just getting together for events, tea or sports. That can be a part of fellowship, but fellowship isn't fellowship unless it involves this common life that we have in Christ. And so there's this central relationship with Christ that we both have together, and things of the Lord are at discussion and what is making fellowship and not just getting together for sort of a sports game or something like that. Fellowship has the things of the Lord, hearts open to one another and the things of the Lord. It's this shared life where we care for one another's souls. And this is this fellowship that, as I say, it requires having our hearts open to one another, being vulnerable with one another. And I know for me, this is one of those areas that I'm growing in. It's a weakness for me. And for those of you who are good at this sort of thing, my wife is better at it than me. This is one of those ways that as a member, you can really serve people like me in engaging us in this kind of fellowship. So we see the early church is practicing the study of the study of the Bible, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. They're devoted to it. Again, this is a practice. It's habit. You might not feel like getting up and coming to worship with God's people on Sunday morning. But even if you don't feel like it, it's important that you do it. As Hebrews says, to not give up, as some are in the habit of doing. Hebrews 10:25, some have given up meeting together. That this is a devotional thing. This is a continual thing. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, and then the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Now, as I've said, this life of the church together really helps us individually grow in Christ. It also expresses worship to God, and it also serves to show the world and then tell the world about Christ. So you read in the rest of the passage, the church then was scattered in the temple, and as they were praising God, they were having favor with others, and this outflow of this life of the church together, the outflow of it was to the effect of witness to Jerusalem. They were being witnesses to Jerusalem, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Notice the church didn't add to their number. This was as Christ said in Matthew 16:18, He will build the church. So He builds the church, but we're called to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to be devoted to fellowship, and to be devoted to this corporate worship. And if we're not, as I've said, other people in the church end up losing out, and you yourselves end up losing out if you're not devoted in these ways. And God's worship and corporate setting, you're not a part of. And so it's important, and it's important also to this task of mission that Christ said to the disciples in chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts, that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so we see that this corporate life of the church functions in some ways like a heart pumping blood, that the blood gathers together in the heart to be reoxygenated, to edify one another, worship the Lord, and then the blood is sent out into the body, sent out into the world to bring this oxygen, to bring the gospel to the world. And so the church works like this. The local church, we're in a way, we're like a heart in Leesburg for the sake of Christ and His kingdom, where we gather together, where we engage the Word, we grow, we encourage one another, we worship God, and then we leave. And out of this shared life together, we leave as the church scattered to be about Christ's glorifying work wherever He's placed us, in our jobs, our neighborhoods, our families, where we're Christ's ambassadors and witnesses of this kingdom outpost. In fact, we're part of this kingdom outpost for His glory. And so we see the church doing these things. And so as a pastor, one of the things I ask, you know, there's all sorts of literature you can read about things like what you should do with the church. And this doesn't specify all the different sort of programs and those kind of things. But essentially, we see that this church constituted by the gospel, filled with the Spirit, is about the word and fellowship and worship, to see witness carried out in a local community. And so as I, as a pastor, think about this, and our elders, what are we supposed to be doing as a church together? We see here a blueprint for our life. We're to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the word. We're to be devoted to fellowship. And we're to be devoted to worshiping God. And of course, it's a team effort. I mean, if you think of a company like, say, Microsoft or something, it's not just the, you look at a company like Microsoft and see how well that they've done by certain measures. It's not just one person or just a few people. It's a whole company that's working together. You've got people who are in leadership, but those people in leadership might not know much at all about programming software. I mean, it takes all the different parts and components to make this work. Well, like the church as a body, we can't think, well, I don't have this gift or this calling. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, every member is a minister. Every member is important. Every member is gifted by God to do things in the church as well as outside the church. And if that's not happening, there's going to be some kind of a loss in the church's ministry together. And so, for me, one of the things that this does is, as a pastor, think about, so are we as a church about the word and fellowship and worship as we should be? And I think any church you go to can grow in these areas. We need to be about all these things. You know, you might think of a church, well, this church is really strong on teaching the apostles, on teaching doctrine, on teaching and preaching the word. And that's good. And somebody might say, and this church is really strong on fellowship. They really care for one another. They really love one another. There's a strong community there. And that's good. And this church over here is, it has this wonderful spirit and worship when they come together and worship the Lord. And that's good. But we want all of these together. We want all of these as a church together. And not only do we want them all as a church together when we think about what we're doing as a church together, but each one of us needs to be devoted to these things ourselves. As I said, it's a team effort. You could have the leadership or what I say, Apple, Steve Jobs and whoever in leadership could be driving things, but if the people who are in the other parts of the company aren't doing their job, the company's not going to go anywhere. Or you could have the people driving, doing their job, and there's not any good leadership, it's not going to go places either. And so it's this team effort. They devoted themselves, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, and the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And so one of the things that I want each of us before the Lord to do this morning is to think about our own mindsets and practices in relation to the church. Do I think of myself as part of a kingdom community? Is that how I think of myself, as a member of Christ's family, as part of the people for God's name? Not some tangential thing that I do or go to fundamentally, but people that I am part of in Christ fundamentally. And how am I in terms of being devoted to the practices of the church? Because if the members of the church aren't involved, I mean, you can imagine, you have the apostles there, and the 3,000 that came to know the Lord said, oh, we don't really want to get together anymore. We don't want to be about these things of the church. Well, you could have the apostles there, but you're not going to read verse 42, and they devoted themselves. So every member needs to be devoted. Each one of us needs to be devoted to the word, to fellowship and worship. And I invite you this morning before the Lord, as I've done this week as well, and I've shared some about my own weakness in it. I know I can improve in each one of these. But think before the Lord, am I devoted to the apostles' teaching with the fellowship of believers? And not just theoretically, but actually, do I actually engage with others in the study of God's word? Am I devoted to fellowship? Am I sharing life? Do I have open hearts with one another? And am I willing to help others in need in the body, in our union with Christ? And am I committed to worshiping God together corporately? And these things are important because it's important for God's glory, it's important for your growth, and it's important for the witness and work of the church. You know, one of the things that I have heard over the years, not just as a pastor, but people will say, you know, I don't feel like I'm being fed here, or I don't feel like I'm connecting here, or I don't feel like I'm growing here. Now, as I said, it's a team effort. Maybe there's a problem with how the church is being led in worship and fellowship and the word. But one of the things, too, though, is that I think oftentimes folks who say that, the question is, are you devoting yourself to these things? Are you showing up to study God's word? Now, this isn't some kind of like you have to be at this one and this one and this one. But is that a reality in your life? It doesn't mean that you have to go to every Bible study or every meeting that's going on in the church. But are you studying the word with God's people? Are you in fellowship with God's people? These people here, are you gathering together in worship? Because if you're not, then you're probably not, if you're not studying the word with people, you're probably going to say something like, I don't feel like I'm being fed or growing here. Because you're cutting yourself off from the food of the word in the corporate setting. Or you might say something like, I don't feel like I'm connecting here because you're not making effort to connect with people at the level of fellowship. Or you may say, well, I don't really feel like I'm inspired in worship here because you might not be showing up. And when you do, maybe you're not prepared or engaged and focused on the Lord. And so this is a very challenging passage. If we don't just let it slip by, but if we let it impact our hearts, because again, and I think many people tend to think of the church maybe as an event that they go to or a thing that they attend rather than fundamentally a community that they're a part of for the sake of Christ and His kingdom in this particular location. And so to ask things like, are you, in terms of devoting to the apostles' teaching together, are you preparing and investing and searching out the scriptures and reading them and studying them, engaging them and applying them, and doing that in a corporate setting as well? Are you in fellowship with one another, connecting, opening up, making Jesus central in relationships and loving one another? For me, as I said, this is the hardest one for me. Or are you worshiping with other people? Showing up regularly to worship, preparing your heart to meet with the Lord, and being ready to focus on Him and encourage one another as well. It is a challenging passage. When we take it to heart, this is a challenging passage. But one of the things about that is if we take this to heart, I think this is key to the health and ministry of the local church. This isn't a passage to be just sort of run by. If there's problems in a local church where there's a lack of the word ministry, a lack of fellowship, or a lack of worship, all we have to do is go back to this passage and see that the problem lies somehow in a lack of devotion to these things. If Christ's Spirit is really present, because this we see that this is the group, the church congregated by the Spirit. The Spirit's present, and it's really believers, those of us who have been bought by Christ together, then if we're devoted to these things, we'll see the Lord at work in our midst. How did they see the Lord at work? Well, we see that one way is that verse 43, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. There's a growth in the fear of the Lord. There's the activity of the Lord at work in people's hearts and lives. And in verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. These kind of things the Lord does in the midst of His people. But if we're not devoted to these things, we probably won't see the same kind of fruit going on in our congregation. And so this is a matter of prayer for me. I hope it's a matter of prayer for you, that if we want to see what a healthy church looks like, look at Scripture. This is one of the classic passages to go to in Scripture to see, okay, what does it mean to be the church, and what are we to do as the church? Well, we're to be devoted to the Word, we're to be devoted to fellowship, we're to be devoted to worship, and let that spill out in witness to the world around. And so that's a challenge. It's a challenging passage. I hope and pray that before the Lord, each of us will individually ask how we're being devoted to this, and pray that the Lord continues to bless and grow our church in these ways for His glory. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for when it challenges us and confronts us. I pray that each of us wouldn't run from that or ignore how You may be working in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that You would give us the power of Your Spirit to be more devoted to these things in this way for Your glory. Lord, encourage us where we're doing these things in a way that is pleasing to you, and challenge us if we're lacking in some way. And we do pray that as a church we would grow. We thank you for the health and the life that you've given to us. We pray that you would grow us in that for the sake of your name and your glory here in Leesburg and around the world. And for our growth and grace, that we would grow because of our life and devotion in the church, and that we would be an encouragement to others and a witness to the world for Christ. And so we do pray that you have your way in our midst, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.